Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Barca Blaugranas podcast. My name is Josh. We are joined by Emil Avanesi. And Emil, how are we doing today?
Good, Josh. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Let's just talk about the fun stuff right away. Yesterday was the Champions League draw.
Yes.
Barcelona managed to snag the toughest group, I think, like undoubtedly. Usually there's a couple of groups that people are like, this is tough. That was not the case this time around. It seems like there's... It's Barcelona, Inter Milan, Bayern Munich, and Victoria Plzeň.
Yeah, but they're
are they Turkish?
Polish? I think they're Polish.
It doesn't matter because they're not.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, Bayern's going to see through
here's
them,
the thing.
So it'll be all
they right. are going to make absolute bank, though, because they get those three teams getting to come to their towns. Like, that's going to be awesome. Like, great for tourism. You know, wherever this place is.
It's three of the probably like, two of the 10 biggest brands. And I mean, Inter is probably in the top 20, I would say.
Oh, like, come global, on. Give Inter brands. A little more credit than that.
What's that?
I said, give Inter a little more credit than that. Come on.
Well, the problem is that the problem is every one of these sort of rankings that they do, and I know it's usually like the financial stuff, but it's like, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, blah, blah, blah. But then there's like two like championship teams, like second division English teams, just because being poor in English football is like enough to make you a Rockefeller in La Liga and Serie A.
Okay, so they are a Czech professional football club.
Oh, they're Czech. Okay.
I was saying
Polish.
I guess I'm a little embarrassed because I think I'm like a quarter Czech. So I feel like I should have known that maybe. I don't know, but I guess I'm also a quarter Polish and I don't know any Polish teams. So maybe that's just, we just don't know our heritage unless we're.
I think there's one. I think it's like Legia Warsaw. That one I know. Like, I don't
that's
know
a
why.
Great name. Anyways, okay. I'm just going to run through the groups real quick. So, Group A, Ajax, Liverpool, Napoli, Rangers. I mean, screw it. Let's just do it. Who's coming out of Group A?
I'm going to say Liverpool and. Okay, I love Napoli, so I'm going to say Napoli.
I'm right there with you. I agree as well.
Yep, Liverpool, Napoli.
Group B, FC Porto, Atletico Madrid, Bayer Leverkusen, and Club Brugge. That's a fun group.
Yes, I do think so. So Atletico have been better than I expected, I think, to start this season.
Club Brugge, the darlings of, I think they beat Real Madrid in the Bernabeu last year, right? Am I misremembering that? I'm going to look this up while you think about who's coming out.
Well, I know too. I just recently read about them because who is it? There's a.
Why did I think that was Club Brugge? No. So, okay.
It's that Sheriff, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, it was Sheriff. Okay. Club Brugge played Real Madrid in 2019.
Okay.
And they got a draw at the Bernabeu, which is still impressive.
So the one thing that it absolutely is. So the one thing that I know is that. Club Brugge has a midfielder that if West Ham are unable to sign the dude from Lyon, Lucas Paqueta, apparently their fallback is this midfielder from Club Brugge. That's the extent of my knowledge on them. So
Club Brugge is a Belgian club, I think.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
Cool. I knew that.
Here's
the thing: you could tell me any of those teams, I'm not being like. Club Brugge is a good team, and they have some history in the Champions League. Like, you could tell me any of those two teams
totally
make it out, and I wouldn't be surprised.
If I had to bet, I mean, I'd probably just go. I don't know if it is chalk, but I'd probably go Atletico and Porto.
Yeah, I have no idea if Leverkusen is any good.
Like, I don't know if they're good now. Like, I know they've been good in the past, but
I would go right there with you just because, again, I don't know enough about Leverkusen or Bruges to know if they're actually like good enough this year, if they just have success last year. We'll save Group C for last since that's our club. Yeah. Group D, Eintracht Frankfurt, Tottenham, Sporting, and Marseille.
I'm going to go Tottenham, Sporting.
This is lining up like, how did Tottenham get this group? What?
I know, it's so good.
And you just know they're going to somehow make it like so difficult on themselves too.
Oh yeah, they're going to have to, yeah, they're going to have to scrape out a point.
Although I'm going to be honest, like Tottenham, they're not really Tottenham-y anymore because Antonio Conte has just like flips them.
No, they're like, they're legit good. I mean, like, I mean, I'm down to sort of snicker at them, but
they've always been legit good. They've just like, it's like Charlie Brown in the football. Like even Pochettino, like despite, like he was so good that they were able to overcome their Spursiness, as Men in Blazers always say.
But
now it's like, I don't know if they're as good. I don't think they're as good as those Poch teams, but they have the Conte grit. He has like forced his DNA into this club. And now it seems like they should come out of this group. Like it should be like you said,
Sporting. Yeah, well, I think there's just so much. To me, it seems like they're obviously they have stars, you know, I mean, just up front alone, like Kane and Son and, you know, like Richarlison's their third striker, you know, or third, you know, third forward.
I love him being there, by the way. He's great.
Yeah. I like him a lot too. But the thing is, they're just so like packed with not superstars, but kind of low level stars and competence, you know, like no one on that team stinks, or like, you don't worry about someone absolutely making just a devastating mistake. Like the way that, you know, kind of when they would Spurs things up, you know, people would be worried about. Yeah, so I'm going to go with them and Sporting Club de Portugal.
Group E is Milan, Chelsea, FC Salzburg, and Dynamo Zagreb. I always love Chelsea having to go into Russian environments for whatever reason. I just find that fun.
Go to the communist bloc, yeah.
I mean, this is Milan and Chelsea. Like, I don't know if there's much to talk about there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really, like... I mean, if I'd done some work, maybe I could, like, construct a case for Salzburg, but I don't, it's not happening, no.
That work's not worth it. Group F, Real Madrid, Leipzig, Shakhtar, and Celtic. That's a fun group.
That is a fun group.
I feel like Real Madrid and Shakhtar are always in the same group. Like, it's just, again, like, this Champions League thing happens time and time again where these clubs are consistently in it, you know?
Well, it's funny because, like, I do feel like, oh, you know, we'll get to Group C later. But, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of reruns there, too, you know?
Yeah.
And, like,
I mean, this is Leipzig and Real Madrid, probably. Like, I don't...
Yeah, again, I mean, this comes down to, you know, sadly, I've done zero homework. You know,
not sadly. Are you kidding me? That's the best podcasting. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, so I was going to say, like, I don't know what... You know, what is it? Celtic has won, like, 9 of the last 10, like, Scottish titles. So, like,
sure,
that always sort of, like, dupes me into sort of, like, ooh, superpower. But then, yeah, they... Yeah, I mean, Leipzig has all the Red Bull money. Like, they're good, yeah.
Yeah, they're fine. Group G is Manchester City, Sevilla, Dortmund, and Copenhagen.
Okay, so this one's interesting because, like, a lot of what I've heard suggests that Dortmund is, like, very much not the Dortmund of, not even, like, Klopp times, but even the immediate aftermath. Like, they've, stuff that I've read suggests that they've slipped a fair bit and they're not the same kind of factory. At the same time, I am you know, reasonably sort of informed on Sevilla, and like I'm kind of bearish on them. I just, their attack seems very, like, both up front and at the back, I feel like they're kind of not as good as they have been and not terribly deep.
Yeah, I mean, their attack has not performed well in their first two La Liga matches, I'll tell you that. They have two total goals, and they are facing Barcelona.
So, yep.
So
and Barcelona now have Jules Koundé, so that's not good for them.
I think if at first glance, like someone like me who doesn't pay that close of attention to teams other than he covers, like I see Sevilla and Dortmund, and I'm like, oh, that's tough. But what you're saying is those two teams don't actually like have that consistency that they usually have, perhaps.
I know. Ironically, it is tough because like neither of them is as good as they have been. So it's like it's a tough call, but the other way. I'm going to say Dortmund, City of Dortmund.
It's more fun if Dortmund get through. In Group H, we have PSG, Juventus, Benfica.
Do you want to
take a shot at that?
Maccabi Haifa.
Maccabi Haifa.
They're Israeli, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Because I know I think Haifa is a city in Israel.
That sounds plausible. Let's Google this. Maccabi Haifa. Yep. Israeli professional team.
Okay.
Okay. Who's coming out of this group? I mean, it seems like PSG and Juventus. Are Benfica going to put up a fight?
So I actually just wrote something like a game preview for this weekend's Juventus game. Like, Juventus does not look impressive. Even like they won their first Serie A match 3-0 against Sassuolo, but they were, I think, like they only had 42% possession. They were outshot, like they had fewer shots on target. Sassuolo had like more attacks, more dangerous attacks, like every which way. Like it was the most bizarre 3-0 box score I'd ever seen. And like they don't look good. And then they followed that up with a goalless draw against Sampdoria.
Not what you want to see.
It's not what you want to see. I'm going to say PSG and Benfica. I mean, I realize I'm like going it. With all the Portuguese teams, but let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. And finally, we have Group C, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Inter, and Victoria Plzen. This is brutal. And as I said, you could make a case that the best German, Spanish, and Italian teams are all in this group. Real Madrid fans would disagree. Milan fans would disagree, but it's a case. And that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It really is. Because usually you don't get, I mean, I guess it usually does happen this way, but I feel like this is the most, I mean, you want to say top heavy, but you know, the third team is really good. Just like top to bottom, it's wild because you compare this to the, you know, that Frankfurt, Marseille, Tottenham group, or I'm looking at some of these other groups and you know, you have like one, maybe two heavyweights here. I mean, this is going to be a bloodbath, I think.
This is like legitimately, like Inter aren't, they're not like a, like, they're not going to be a pushover here. Like they might be better than Barcelona.
Well, yeah. And also, I mean, because there's so much comes down to how the Barca defense kind of gels and holds up as the season goes on. Because like twice, you're going to have to deal with Lukaku and Lautaro Martinez in group play. And that's in addition to whatever Bayern's got to throw at you.
It's not great.
It's not. I mean, I am feeling confident that Barca on, I do think that from an attacking perspective, I'm actually becoming way more like, I mean, not that I was ever sort of bearish on Barca, but I feel really kind of settled and good about the team kind of going forward in attack. Defense, I'm less kind of less secure in my optimism.
That is a great transition because on my notes, I did want to talk about there was a report that ahead of the match this weekend that Alejandro Balde, okay, do you say it Balde? Balde?
Balde, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Balde, okay. That he is expected to return to the starting lineup for this weekend's match. What did you think of him last weekend? Obviously, like, he looked pretty good in the small sample size we have, but like, what are your thoughts on him going forward?
I mean, I think he's still super young. I'm trying to remember, generally I know he's one of these guys. I don't watch a lot of the, like the B team or, you know, the Barca youth teams or anything, but I know he's been a name for a while, like since he was in the youth ranks and everything. And he's one of those kind of next La Masia gems. And I think last year was sort of when he was supposed to not necessarily break through, but kind of maybe carve out a little bit of a rotation spot for himself. And I don't think he was there last year. but I really like him. I mean, if anything, I think his, it's unfortunate. I think his actual defending is the sort of the weak link of his game, but he is fantastic getting forward and he's excellent on the ball. In the absence of like a nailed on, number one option, I'm totally down for, seeing what you've got with him, because I mean, it's so uninspiring to me, like the repeatedly having to contemplate like, okay, so I guess maybe Marcos Alonso is coming and, I struggle so much to care every time that conversation happens. So like at least give an 18-year-old kid a try, and just like, he'll be 19 in October. He looks good. He's grown up in the system. Like, feed his confidence at least for a little while.
Yeah, if only we had another young fullback that is potentially, who's been struggling under managerial and structural changes, and we could give him a shot too. I can't remember his name, Serge something or another.
I know that's
Samuel Umtiti. He finally got he's gone for now, at least.
Yeah, paying all of his wages, but at least like it kind of clears the salary cap basically.
What a strange.
I mean, I guess this tenure is like one of those things where I guess like it happens in baseball, right? Where guys will trade like high price players, but they'll take lesser prospects because they agree to like, because they don't want to pay for all the salary, or they'll pay like 80% of the freight to get better prospects. Yeah, this is I guess just to clear the runway to get Koundé in.
Yeah, and La Liga reportedly this morning is giving them the green light for Koundé's registration. So
God, that's awesome. Such a disaster if that didn't happen.
Should Memphis Depay go back to Manchester United?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, why would he?
I mean, well, exactly. Okay, so there's a couple of things. Like, you and I talk about this, and like, I feel like this is my, I'm carving this out. Like, this is my drum that I beat every time. Like, I will be this podcast, like, sort of pro labor, pro employee, like just voice in the forest. Like, look, you gave me a contract and you told me it runs through a certain date. So I like making very good money and living in Barcelona. So I'm not going to leave. So like, okay, that. Now also don't come at me and tell me like, okay, you're going to love this. Not only do you have to swap Barcelona for Manchester with like the fall and the winter coming, we're going to send you to a club where like your career left with your career in tatters. How do you like that? They've basically had precisely one good performance since, God, who knows, like since like the last World Cup, it feels like.
Listen, can we talk about that match for a second?
Oh my God.
What? Like, I felt like I was living in like a like alternative like universe. I don't really understand what happened. Like, Graham Lasso and Arlo White were like casting it like it was like a Champions League final.
Yeah.
And the crowd was treating it like it was a Champions League. I mean, I haven't heard a crowd like that. I can't even remember when, like, the sound that was coming through my sound. Yeah. Like, I had to, like, my brain had to keep telling my eyes, like, no, this is a match day three Premier League match between two teams that aren't even in the top 10 yet. But my heart was telling me this match was everything.
No, exactly. Yeah. So I this was exactly the kind of match that, funnily enough, I'm sort of immune to it with this iteration of Man United, but this is exactly the kind of match that will make me like recklessly just flip my opinion on something that I clearly know to be wrong. But I watched that because, okay, so I wrote a preview for that game for Squawka. And I remember, and part of it is like, it's one of these like betting previews. So you have to like put in just, kind of suggestions or, kind of what you think is going to happen. I did not have a scenario in which United were going to win. Like, I think to be polite, and also because Liverpool were just missing an absolute boatload of players, I only said they would win. Did I say 3-1? Was that a 2-1 or 3-1? But essentially, like, I did not see any scenario in which United were clearly the superior team for an overwhelming majority of the game and genuinely could have just put the hammer to Liverpool if, you know,
if they didn't start putting their tail between their legs after they got the second goal.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like, I mean, it felt inevitable that Liverpool were going to come back and win, and I'm surprised they didn't. I think that's because they're still figuring things out for
missing,
whatever reason.
You know, they're missing a lot of guys, you know, like especially up front.
Yeah. And you saw that when they were bringing on substitutions that looked like they could have been my children.
Because I still think of like, I know he's not at the club anymore, but functionally, like they're missing Sadio Mane. Because, like, you know, everybody, you're used to this dude being here. Like, your experience of playing at Liverpool is this guy is here. So, anyway, there was going to be the learning experience of him not being around anymore. And then,
yeah,
there was,
you
like,
already
Darwin
saw,
Nunez,
like, the absence of Darwin. Yeah,
dropped the
like, him not being there was
brutal.
Yeah,
dropped the headbutt on someone.
But it was, like, and I was honestly kind of disappointed that they scored the two goals that quickly because I loved watching them attack. Like, it was, like, it was fun, and I have not enjoyed watching Manchester United do anything on or off the pitch in years. And so, like, watching them attack and look good, like, Rashford was unbelievable. Jordan Sancho looked like himself again. Like, it was incredible. And then they got the second goal, and they just looked terrified. Yeah.
And I think that's where it comes back to, like, I feel like this team and this club, but the team and the players in particular have been so beaten down and are so gun shy that when it's going well and you have a collection of talent like that, you get two goals like that and you're at home and a sold out like nighttime crowd is just going bananas. Like that's when you go for the throat. I mean, that's when the peak Barca teams, it was like, it would go from 2 to 5 before anyone really kind of figured out what happened. But when you're not feeling it and you're so terrified of what you have, I mean, like Man United strikes me as like, you know how they say, like, United strikes me as scared money, you know, like anything they win, like, I feel like they're just, every small profit is meant to be guarded with your life. And rather than trying to like really just put out a performance for the ages, and this is your heated rival, they've completely sort of surpassed you and they've, you know, beaten you and this and that, like, you have a chance, just hit them with everything you have, and they didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did do enough to, like,
they looked good. I mean, they looked like, especially
they looked really
good. And against most teams that, because even like, you know, 75-80% of Liverpool is better than most teams, so a performance like that is good enough to beat just about everyone in the Premier League. The problem that I have, though, is I also don't know if this team can summon up a performance like that on like a Saturday afternoon in, I don't know, like Hull's not in the league.
Yeah, Stoke?
You know, like I'm always trying to think of like, yeah, because I'm, yeah, exactly. You know, like just whatever, just a random place. Like, can they go to like, are they going to care on a Saturday afternoon at like Craven Cottage against Fulham?
They should. I don't know. I think it was fun to watch. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, football's more fun when these classic good teams are good. And so it was fun to see a match like that was actually competitive, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, they were, really, really good.
You can still tell me United finished like 12th this year. You can still tell me that.
Oh, yeah.
And it wouldn't be surprising. Okay. We're about done. I just have to ask, speaking of United, in 6 months, where will Cristiano Ronaldo be?
Man, I don't know. Like, who? I mean, he makes so much money. So, like, I think we've talked about this. Like, the list of teams that could conceivably take him, even if you take any kind of filters off, is really, really small.
Well, I don't understand why he doesn't go back to like Sporting or something.
I do think, like, that's probably the best play for him.
I mean, Dortmund don't even want him.
God. Yeah, I mean, well, because I guess the thing is too, I think he's like the weird way where, like, I mean, so obviously, yes, he's just a monumental, like, epic prima donna, you know, but like the thing is, he's this dude that works super, super hard. So you can't, like, he's never not in shape or, you know.
And here's the thing, he's going to score goals if you throw him out there.
Yeah. But I think the problem is, like, it comes at the expense of sort of anybody else. Like, I think at this point in the game, I mean, probably, well, I don't think it was always this way, but at this point in the game, I think, like, when Cristiano's on the pitch, it's the other players are there to serve the, like, serve the purpose of getting him a goal. And sure, yeah, of course, the goals help the team, but it's like, he doesn't run anymore. Like, you know, it's sort of, unless he's on the ball or chasing the ball or, you know, running towards the goal, like, he doesn't sort of put in a ton of work. I mean, I think, but that is actually where I think if he'd probably be really good on a team that's packed with sort of young and energetic players, where they'll kind of do the running for him, and he can essentially just be like a senior mentor. And
I mean, you know, theoretically, like, if he handled things the right way, that team would be just united.
That would be Manchester United.
Yeah. Surrounded Marcus by Rashford, Sancho and Marcus Sancho. Rashford. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, all of that is right there. And I know, I just, as I was saying it, I'm like, I realized that. And, but
yeah, I mean, him and Ten Hag just need to, like, sit down, have a, you know, Ronaldo can have his kombucha, Ten Hag can have his whiskey sour, and they can just, you know, chop it up and get things together, because it would be a good partnership and a good story. So I don't know why.
And I know part of it is that like, Cristiano demands Champions League football.
Yeah.
So
why can't he just be Casemiro? Did you see that interview with Casemiro?
Oh no, I didn't actually.
Okay, so again, like we were talking about before, yeah, I saw this on Reddit. So he was being interviewed, and I guess as he's kind of coming to the spotlight more off the pitch, I've realized he's like, his, as it is with a lot of athletes, right, that are on the pitch, like menaces, he just seems like an incredibly, like, very nice person and, like, super down to earth off the pitch. And this reporter, it was like in a sit down interview, she asked him, you know, like, or something along the lines of, like, why are you comfortable, like, not playing in the Champions League? And in, like, the most earnest non-Cristiano Ronaldo way ever, he kind of laughs and goes, like, I've got 5 of them.
I love that.
And it was like, coming from anyone else, it probably would have sounded so pretentious, but he just kind of giggled and he was like, I don't know, like, I'm good.
I'm like, over the Champions League.
Why can't Ronaldo just see, like, the larger narrative of, like, maybe this is like an online NBA thing that only you and I would get, but, like, the whole, like, legacy thing, him coming back to United and being, like, someone that's, like, actually a leader is a great story, whether they're in the freaking Europa League or not.
Well, look, to do an NBA comparison, like, I mean, it's not perfectly like for like, but sort of the, it's like you're saying, so Cristiano is so kind of bought in hand over fist on the whole, like, rings culture thing. And it's kind of almost like Damian Lillard and Kevin Durant, where Durant has objectively had a better career. He's won an MVP. He's got 2 rings. He's got finals MVPs, like, all of that. And, you know, it's sort of, nothing ever seems settled with him. It's kind of like, you know, the Warriors thing wasn't working for him. So then went to Brooklyn, and then he was out. Now he's apparently back in. And, you know, while his resume has 0 holes in it, I mean, it's completely unimpeachable. Meanwhile, like, Dame, I know, obviously, like, he wants to win too, but he's got this, he's a superstar and has local icon status. And no one doubts for a second that he is killing himself to do everything possible for that team. And it's like the two different types of legacies. And I mean, I genuinely think that if, you know, Dame never wins a ring, let's say, I mean, as you get older, I feel like the Damian Lillard legacy has to feel better. Just being like this revered icon in the city where you played for 15, 20 years.
Anyways, I've done a horrible job of hosting a Barcelona podcast today, but we talked a lot about good football.
What are you talking about? We talked about Cristiano and Damian Lillard.
Yeah, whatever. It was fun.
Googled some European cities. I'm like, it's good stuff.
I've got 4 minutes till Zoom kicks me off. Tell me what you're working on.
All right. So I am, I'm still working on a lot of game previews and stuff for Squawka. Urban Pitch, I am still just regularly doing stuff for them. A lot of it is sort of Barca focused, but some of it
you're going to need to send me the Danny Alves link so I can put that in the post.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So that's, yeah. So I'll be in a, I like it. I'll be in the second consecutive Blizzard. The 3 months ago, it was on Barca Femini. And this time I wrote a, I sent you the draft, right? Yeah. So I wrote a, I don't know, a wee bit out of my comfort zone, Danny Alves piece that it was really enjoyable. Yeah, I will absolutely send you the link to that. And yes, yeah, so, I mean, it's a lot of that. And yeah, what else am I working, what else am I working on? Otherwise, I'm doing a little bit of stuff that's not directly sports related, but, you know, kind of more gaming. I might actually be writing about brick and mortar casinos. So
okay,
yeah, actually it's something that I do know about. I have experience doing it in my sort of in my past life, and
you know, I could see you pulling up in like an Ocean's 11 style suit. I would up to the Bellagio. Yeah,
oh, I would love it. I would love that, or I'd just love to be the random dude, like, you know, like I never liked going to Vegas to party. I'd like to just be the random dude in Vegas who kind of just, you know, just you have people everywhere, like you just, you know, like have
people a couple watcher?
But what,
your people watcher?
Yeah, I mean, well, or I mean, I'd go with friends and, like, you know, we'd gamble or just basically just go drink. But yeah. Like, yeah, but yeah, it was basically nightclubs aren't so much my scene.
100% but, feel that. If you go to Vegas, it turns out the areas outside of Vegas are actually more appealing, like the national parks everywhere.
Oh, and like Red Rocks and stuff like that.
Oh, like Red Rocks. I mean, there's a ton of stuff around. Yeah. Anyways, we're getting off topic. Everyone check out at Hardwood Hype on Twitter for all of Emil's great thoughts. Now that he can express, you know, his past life of in gambling.
Yeah.
This is gonna be good stuff. Check out the Barca Blaugrana's podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever else they're doing podcasts now. And as always, Emil, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Josh. Talk to you soon.